welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And we've got a special game changer episode, and that's because I've been telling you folks, it's now or never. And last week we told you about the door had been opened for the digital currency. As a matter of fact, a friend in South Dakota sent me a piece of information from, actually forwarded me some communication he received from a good friend in Canada. And what his friend in Canada said, overnight, his Canadian bank migrated all of his money in his bank account to a digital currency. And so now he doesn't know what to do. And so, you know, because you can't, when it's a digital currency, you can't have cash. You can pay for things, but you cannot possess it. It is digital, does not transcribe into physical currency. How can you do that? If the medium, if the currency is digital, that is the form that it is. You have to understand, currency is property, and it is a fundamental right. Having property and protecting your property is a fundamental right, in at least in this republic. And people don't understand the difference between our constitutional republic and the rest of the world. As I was briefing a progressive on Friday, actually it was just Friday, I was out, and this guy, he was completely clueless. And as a matter of fact, he was a progressive by his lifestyle, but not necessarily ideologically. I mean, I believe he voted progressive, but he wasn't happy with inflation. He wasn't happy with what was going on. And so I had to basically break it down for him, you know, that all of these subsidies, everything, you know, it's going to continue to inflate our currency. And that the end game is to make currency digital. Now, he didn't have a problem with that. Folks, you need to understand that there are lots of people that are Americans today that don't have a problem with not having a constitution anymore. There are lots of people that have no problem with us going to a cashless society. And so I had to kind of help him understand that if he chose to liquidate something and wanted to do something with it that nobody really wanted him to do, or he didn't want, you know, or he just wanted to, at the spur of the moment, give it to somebody without them being punished or you being punished for doing it. It's your property. If you want to gift it to somebody, you can. And so he started to kind of understand it. We didn't have too much time because we were just crossing paths while we were waiting in line. But anywho, I'm here to tell you that we have been subjected and have been inculcated, and over the past century, we have opened the doors for even longer than that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go through the warfare tactics, because most people, you know, when we talk about warfare tactics, they start putting in their heads, oh, tanks, artillery, guns, guys with helmets. I mean, you're right, that's what you're talking about. That's warfare. And they have no clue all of the different forms of warfare and warfare tactics that can be used on you, or on us. And so we want to go through that today, because you know, some of our favorite entertainers out there are creating a lot of fear. And yours truly is informing you of very fearful things. But I am telling you that you have, I know if you can't do anything about it, then you need to, everybody needs to have a bug out. This is what preppers call a plan of where you're going to go and where you're going to meet if crap really hits the fan. Let's say everybody's at work, kids are at school or what have you. If the crap hits the fan, who is it that goes and gets the kids, and who is it that, you know, and where are you going to meet, and, you know, and so forth, so that you can get out. You may not have anything to do. You may not have anywhere to go. And you need to have a bag, you know, bag ready with your silver, a bag ready with your guns or, you know, handgun, something, and just bug out. And that's what bugging out means. And if you live in a prepper society like I have for a long time in my life, you know, there are people that have bug out. They not only have a bug out plan, they have a place to go. I know lots of people that own property in different parts of the wilderness that they absolutely own. And that's where they're going to go, and that's where they will exist. They have some running water on their property, or they have caches of food, and they've basically created a place that they can. Not everybody has that. And people that are doing that are literally planning for a long-term, you know, holdout. Now, I will just say this. I would rather die than deny Christ. And really what we're talking about is not about a government, because bottom line, when you read Revelations, it's about accepting his mark. It's just accepting 666, becoming a part of his society. So we need to really understand what you're going to do, because if that is not something that bothers you, then fine. But you may want to be able to have a little bit of freedom. And so understanding how to function in this change of society, because people don't fathom how things will change when all of a sudden you will not have access to your currency. Now, here's one of the things that they're planning on. Those people who will be resistant will lose all their liquid assets. Your 401k, everything. If you're not going to comply, they just take it. You don't think that happens? It happens everywhere. And it can't happen here as long as we're enforcing the Constitution and don't allow them to go to a digital currency. When they go to a digital currency and then they create when they execute their next crisis, because that's all these things are. This all has been planned out. This debt crisis that's coming has been planned. They knew that they needed to create such an insurmountable debt that the United States could not pay the interest. And well, folks, we're almost there right now. We're almost there. There's just a few things that have to happen. And as they continue to print out money doing unconstitutional things like bailing out banks, they have no authority to do this. The states need to understand, this is why we're working directly with state legislators. This is why we're working directly with, you know, grassroots, party, anybody and everybody. So let me go through some of these things that we need to go through. But before I do that, just kind of let me cover some of the obligatories. As you know, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to start getting the ratification debates up there, and we're going to start getting the reading of the Constitution up there, so you'll have that. So that way you can download these MP3 files, and that way you can actually just, when you're commuting, you can listen to this stuff. You need to stop listening to these conservative entertainers. You know, iHeart Industries is an industry of profit. Everybody that goes there, everybody that becomes a part of these big industries, yours truly would not go to iHeart for profit. I mean, if they come and they carry my stuff, that's okay, but it's not going to be done for profit. I'm not trying to necessarily say all people, But I am telling you that when you put money attached to something, you know, and everybody has a right to live. Everybody has, you know, a right to charge for services. I believe those things are those are fundamental inalienable rights. Nobody can force you, but I do know this, that if you're in his service, you'll be blessed. And if you don't need it, you know, I was telling somebody, and I'm going to go through this real quick. I reached out to the Glenn Beck, the Blaze, and all of that a long, long time ago. It was 2013 when I reached out to them, and this was right after they started forming the Blaze. I mean, the Blaze was just getting off the ground, and they did, you know, they were becoming the entity that they are and the machine that they are now. And so this is how, you know, I ended up meeting Trevor Lawton's wife, who was a researcher for Glenn Beck. Anyway, I reached out to them and I wanted to talk and get Glenn to get on board. Because in my second book, if you read my second book, I point out that any conservative entertainer that gets on board with this concept of demanding full compliance of the Constitution, this would be the game changer. Well, you know, so the last time I talked to Kathy, and this was like right after Trump, and maybe a bit was the 2016 election. It was a while ago. And at that point in time, I said, you know, it'd be good to talk to him to see if he would, you know, get on board with this. And she says for him to get behind anything, it would cost, and I think at that point it was $800,000 just to have a 1-hour meeting for him to consider doing something for you. Folks, I want you to understand there are people, and I understand when you can command that kind of, if you want to call it respect, or if you can command that kind of price tag for somebody to take up your time, then they're no longer the nice, you know, helpful guy that you really believe that they are. They are they're ruthless. They're very, I could say all sorts of bad things. And all this time I hear him, it sounds like he really cares, but I think he's a brilliant marketeer. And I think that this man is, you know, he's made his bed and he's living in it very comfortably until the time comes when it's too late. You can't help anymore and you've done your damage. Every conservative entertainer is this way. Mark Levin, Bill O'Reilly, they're all out to make money. They need to, they got to pay off their Porsche. They got a couple of homes. These people who are living or desire to live in it, you know how many billions of dollars are in the conservative entertainment industry, even though you may not see any of that. The advertisers and all of that, and it may be drying up, and they're fighting more and more ruthlessly, and it's becoming a real dogfight. It's getting nasty. And it's all, and a lot of these people, they don't take direct swings like me. Well, actually, Mark Levin, he likes swinging to backbenchers like me, because that's what he calls people that don't have the, you know, the prowess, the presence on the media like he does. And you know what? That's fine. I let what I have to say stand. And it's irrefutable, because what I tell you, and this is why we go through the content here, what I tell you is actually what the framers wrote down. I read these things. I just don't tell you to listen to me, believe what I tell you and do what I say. Those people are charlatans. But all that being said, one last obligatory, we do have a petition. We need to get you involved in petitions. I'm actually going to be doing new promos, because I'm going to get rid of all the old ones, and we're going to actually have promos that'll help you, you know, hitting you on, you know, how to get involved, what you can be doing, and how you can be making big impacts in your county and your state. Because, folks, people are starting to wake up. They're realizing that, you know, what do? We're getting all this information, but there's no solution. And every time I listen, I watched painfully an hour in Oklahoma of these people talking about the Agenda 3030 plan. And we're going to cover this. This is a warfare tactic that has been executed against you, your county, your state, and your liberties and our Constitution. This is war. And people are not taking this seriously. You need to understand, somebody declared war against your liberties a long time ago. And they've been working and working and working and have positioned themselves just like trapping a pig. The old adage, you know, you put a wall up out into the wood and put some food there. And eventually, as the pig gets more and more comfortable, you put another wall and another wall. And then because the pig is completely comfortable, does not see the pending threat. When he goes to get some more food, you know, from that little pile that has three walls around it, while he's eating, you put the fourth wall up and he's trapped. And that's how they're doing it. It's just like boiling a frog. There's all of these different metaphors. There's all of these different, you know, imagery, you know, things we can apply. And bottom line, we have been at war for a long time. And so this is why I think it is incumbent on this show for this special game changer for you to start understanding what to do. And one of the things you need to do is you need to go out and get yourself some chickens. If you have the ability to have a chicken coop and chickens, if you have an HOA, then and they won't allow you to have chickens, we're getting a petition because you need to go through, because there's no doubt in my mind, everybody in that HOA, especially if it's a middle-class HOA. In other words, it's not Hollywood or anything like that, because Hollywood doesn't even have HOAs. But most HOAs, if you look at where they are, most of them are in upper-middle-class society, where these are the people that have enough money that they want to control them and keep them from becoming truly independent. Because what would happen if you had your own cow for milk, and you had your own chickens, and you had plenty of, you know, organic and, you know, feed, you know, for your cows to eat because you got some grassland. I mean, you could actually live just fine, just like they did hundreds of years ago off of the land and, you know, off of the livestock that you have, because the livestock can give you milk and the livestock can give you meat and the chickens and eggs and all of those things, butter. I mean, all of those things are derivative from one small little family farm. Some family farms are and have been the biggest threat to this plan. And they started using their laws and paradigm shifts to get people to believe that, you know, these supermarkets, they're going to have everything you want. Now, we have to actually start using First Amendment petitions to actually get government to recognize we have fundamental rights, and you have a right to be able to provide for yourself. If government cannot actually give you food when you are hungry, then you have a right. Because it's one thing if they can actually do that. It's the same thing with, you know, if government can actually protect you from any harm. You know, because, excuse me, if you look at prisoners are protected from harm when they're in their cells. And so that's what government does. And they can guarantee that nobody's going to hurt them if these prisoners are in their own cell. As soon as they get out into the, you know, when they're out in the open, with a general population, that's what they call, you know, in an area, the yard, what have you, that's when they're possibly a threat, where people can actually hurt each other. So government has solutions. They're not good. And all of it has to do with taking your liberty. So when we start going through the, and as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions to help you understand what we need to do. Now, I've been telling you that this is actually warfare, and I'm going to go through the different warfare tactics. I'm only scratching the surface. You know, Glenn Beck goes through and gives you the details of how they're taking your food away, and then he says you need to go get food. Oh, and we have a sponsor here that if you buy food, you're going to get a break. Just tell them I sent you. Now, Monix, you can set up your own referrals so that I don't get a penny from your referrals. They do this with everybody. And I'm not trying to actually be the guy that, you know, oh, make sure you tell them that they, you know, I sent you. And I'm not, because they won't even let you do that. That's the beautiful thing about Monix. In other words, they, you know, it all doesn't, the compensation, the reward, or what have you, doesn't come all to me. When you go set up with Monix, with Nav, and you get your own account, everybody that you refer to, you'll get their little, you know, stipend of a reward. It's not that much, but at least it's something, and you can do that. Now, I am asking everybody, and I'm sincerely asking everybody, to please, as a matter of fact, if you go to my Mobius Strip press page and you want to provide, because if you think otherwise, if you don't think that I'll be serious and look into it, you can, you know, put it out in public. That's fine. I'm okay with that. If there is a better way than Monix, I'll tell you about it. Now, you might be able to work out a personal deal, because I know buying 100 coins of silver, that's, you know, shoot, that's almost $4,000, and it's going up. Silver, folks, has gone up $1 since I told you last week. And guess what? It's not going to be ticking down. It may, you know, level out, tick down a little bit, but it's going to continue because more and more people realize with the digital currency, the window is shutting. Now, you know, if you buy from Monix, you will actually get that silver shipped to you. Anyway, what we have, and I articulated this, and you can get a copy of this from my constitutional minutes. You go to Reclaiming the Republic to the Constitutional Articles page. Halfway down, you'll notice I have this little section called Constitutional Minutes. And then below that, I have other documents and so forth. But the very first Constitutional Minute, and it was 2023, January 23rd, 2023. It's the very first one under Constitutional Minutes. In that, you'll see red text. I mean, when you're looking at the PDF, you know, the little, the, you know, small portion of it, you can actually see the red text. The red text is actually delineating the warfare that we have had to deal with in America for decades, if not over a century. For decades, they've been waging war against us. And so this is what the globalists have been doing. And, you know, and most people don't even acknowledge or realize that these things have a purpose. And what they're trying to do does not benefit you and I at all. It benefits their end. They are looking for an end, for an outcome. Death is a big part of that. You do know that the progressives and everybody that's pushing are telling us that there's way too many people. And they're not telling you how they're going to kill you. They're just saying we need to stop population growth. Actually, they've been saying that for years, and what they're really saying is we need to get rid of a lot of people, because the Georgia Guidestones back in the 80s made the proclamation. This is the progressive proclamation, that the earth can sustain no more than a half a billion people, or 500 million. Well, shoot, folks, America's almost ticked up to 500 million. We're 300 something. And they're not, this isn't just, you know, a plan for good Americans. As a matter of fact, Americans are the problem. You do realize that, right? This is why they, because we have liberty in our blood. We don't necessarily take very well to being subjugated. And as a matter of fact, if you understand the British Empire, and if you understand, I'm just going to give you a little history. If you look back at the Roman Empire, the Roman Empire took lots of different nations as slaves, but interestingly enough, they didn't take those Brits for slaves because they had problems with them. And the problems were that they just didn't want to be slaves, and they constantly did everything they could and would be willing to die. And it was just such a problem. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so it's kind of interesting. And as a matter of fact, there's all sorts of, even if you watch Braveheart, if you've watched some of the old movies, this concept, because the whole British Empire, the people that went to Britain, the Anglo-Saxon brothers, I mean, those people that migrated out of Europe and over to kind of settle in Britain, these are the people that really wanted to be free. And they were kind of anarchical, and they were, you know, they did not want to be controlled. And as they started getting more educated and enlightened and so forth, well, I mean, they end up basically breaking away from the empires. But during the Roman Empire, those ragtag Brits, the people on the rock of the UK today, every time they were taken as slaves, now they had actually people that served in the army, that those people that were willing to serve, the Romans were happy to take because they were great. But when you took them against their will, these people were just going to continually fight you. I mean, there was just a lot of the tactics, you couldn't break their spirit. These people would be willing to die. And so they just realized it wasn't worth the effort when they can actually take and subdue the Slavs. Because the Slavs actually, and that's one of the things that the Ottoman Empire, the term Slav, and you'll learn this from Thomas of Soul's book, the name slave was a derivative of the Slavs because they were the best. I mean, they made the best slaves. So when we look at, you know, the British experiment and so forth, they had this innate, you know, heritage. I mean, it was just passed down generation to generation. I mean, so when we look at all the people that came to America, I honestly believe that the people that still possess that gene, you know, got onto a boat over time and migrated to America, either in the early colony days just to get away for religious persecution or what have you. But once, you know, before the revolution and even after the revolution, people started coming here because they wanted to be free. And so the remnants of those, it's not that there aren't people that want to be free in other nations. There are. And especially as they see it, I believe as people become more educated and understanding the principles of liberty and this inalienable rights of, you know, we're all created equal and all those things, they want to be partakers of it. The whole world wants to come here. Well, why do they need to come here when we can bring here to them? We can, because the Constitution allows it. This is why I've been telling you. So one of the things I'm going to be doing as a part of the Game Changer episode, because I don't necessarily want to make this permanent because I think the content is more important. I believe that what we need to do is we need to lay out exactly what the presidential campaign needs to be focused on. And let's see if we can drive this. Let's see if we can actually get the dialogue for a presidential campaign to be far broader than build a wall, MAGA. Come on, folks. I think Americans can understand a lot more, and we can simplify it by demanding full compliance of the Constitution. We want compliance. Full compliance to the Constitution. That should be the marketing. And we're going to go through what we expect our presidents to do and how they can be compliant. Because, see, President Trump, the president of the United States, cannot fix America. Only the states can do this. So what do? We have the president become the champion in protecting the states from the bureaucracies and all of the things that are attacking them today by pulling them back and saying, look, get together and put us back into the framework. Do your job. This is your job to do. It's not Congress's. Congress is your servant. And the federal government is your servant. So let's get into the warfare. And so you're going to need to maintain, you know, so that when somebody comes in halfway through this dialogue on this special game changer, because it's going to span a few episodes. And so what you'll need to do is just look for the game changer. You know, it's going to be on Monday, and, you know, it's part one, part two, part three, part four, and however many parts. You're going to need to download all of these. And when you want to share these, make sure you let that person know. You need to listen to all of these, because this is going to be a comprehensive listing of the warfare tactics and what we have to do. You got to start getting your silver. I'm telling you this right now. We're going to repeat some of these things you got to do. And you got to start getting food. You got to get your bug out. You got to have a plan. Failing to plan is planning to fail. I mean, if failure is okay, if becoming a slave or dying, I mean, I'd rather be out there fighting for what I can than just say, I accept my death. You know, okay, you've come, just kill me. Because 9 times out of 10, the desire to live, and most people will actually compromise themselves. I'm telling you, folks, if you've ever heard about SEER training, which is Survival Escape Rescue, I forget the acronym, but it's basically survival tactics that a military goes through when you go down or you're left behind enemy lines, or you find yourself in a situation where you can be captured. And so SEER training, they give that to intelligence, and they give that to, you know, pilots and people that potentially can be, you know, captured. And it's a tough school. And what they do is they basically prove to you that you can break, that they have tactics that can break you, that almost 100% of the time people will break. And they try to help you understand what you can do so that you don't break badly, that you can survive without compromising too much. You know, you give just a little bit, you know, but bottom line, you know, you're going to feel bad. You're going to feel guilty that you're going to break. And the reality is you can break better instead of breaking badly. And that's what that's really what they try to teach it. Because look at McCain. McCain didn't even break. He surrendered and he just went willingly and gave them everything. And it was almost like he was there. I think the guy may have, you could make an argument that he deliberately allowed himself to be shot down so he could serve the enemy, because he's been a willing servant and his father was an admiral in the Navy. So was this something that happened occurred while he was in school because I think his father was a patriot. I don't have any evidence otherwise. And I think that McCain was just a mark on the family name. But anyway, let's get into the warfare tactics. Now, when we look at warfare, the formal idea of warfare, most people think is, you know, tanks, artillery, helmets, and all of these types of things. And that's a direct warfare military engagement. the fact of the matter is there are several different types of, and I think it's like 31, 32 different types of warfare. And so when we look at the different warfare tactics, go look at this. And actually, Wikipedia breaks down all the different types of warfare tactics beyond just the military type of tactics. Now, the very, you know, and these aren't necessarily in alphabetical order, most of them are, but the very first one I have to bring up is the rebellion. A rebellion, creating rebellions within a government, rebellions within a country is a warfare tactic. This is what was actually used in the French to stir up the French Revolution. This is how you incite revolutions. And so rebellion is basically an anarcho protest of, you know, against government and so forth. And this is exactly what we see. Anarcho protests in the streets of America instead of First Amendment petitions to government for the redress of grievances. You know why the progressives do not use and why the legal system adopted protests? Because they knew that the progressives couldn't argue a actual contention and have, you know, demand redress over things that they were demanding that were direct violations of the Constitution. You realize this, right? What they're asking for free health care, going to petition government and say, you have to, well, okay, well, academically prove this. Prove that in the Constitution, we have a right to health care. We don't. So what would the process be? Oh, well, we'd have to amend the Constitution. That would be the academic process. This is why they could not use rebellions in America. They are not rebellions, petitions. Forgive me. I started some medication, so my head and lips are not necessarily synchronized the best. But if I make a mistake, let me know and I'll clarify it if something didn't make sense. But hang in there, folks. I am doing everything I can to help you understand this. When we look at rebellions, rebellions are tantamount to uncivil behavior, and the framers demanded that we as citizens of the United States be a civilized nation, and that's why they gave us First Amendment petitions to hold government accountable if government got out of control, that we wouldn't have to rebel. This was the answer. This closes the argument that rebellion warfare tactics could even be operated here under this Constitution. So they had to redefine this unconstitutionally and get everybody to believe it. And it took over a century to get to this position. And this goes all the way back to the early 1800s when John Marshall started making rulings that the federal government could, you know, the Supreme Court could actually rule, and whatever they rule becomes law. And over time, when he made those assertions, they landed flat because he knew that they couldn't. But over time, by using precedents in case law, when they brought up issues in court cases, because at that point in time when John Marshall was making a ruling, and this is why James Madison and even Monroe, when they were presidents and they understood the Constitution, they didn't basically remove Marshall for malfeasance and for, you know, contempt of the Constitution and being rebellious against the Constitution with these rulings. The rulings were just opinions. The specific ruling in Maryland v. McCulloch and so forth, all of these cases, these eight hallmark cases where his opinions in the rulings actually subverted the Constitution. What he did was he created unconstitutional footings. And so down the road, when all of a sudden our legal system adopted precedents and case law, which is not constitutional, it is not constitutional. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, not jurists' opinions. And so they started actually using, well, Marshall said this, and this was said in this case, and this was said in this case, and therefore we can do these things. Instead of actually going to the Constitution and the ratification debates and saying, the Constitution was clearly defined, we can't do these things, we can't do these things. And that's how they've been supposed to act. That's how they have been required under the compact. Madison even said this, and this is why we go through the content. This is why we read the documents so you can hear it yourself. Don't take our word for it. So anyway, so just to be upfront, one of the warfare tactics is happening right now in front of your eyes. And now, when you go protest and you demand compliance of the Constitution and you want to petition government, like on the 6th of January, 2021, and you find out that the government has locked your house, they've said, we are not going to allow you to petition us. And then what they then do is they violate the Constitution, because your right to petition government is a civil right. In other words, Congress can make no law abridging the right of the people. This is the First Amendment. Congress can make no law abridging the right of the people to petition government for the redress of grievances. You understand? What happened on January 6th was not a rebellion or an insurrection. The people finally were going to petition government and say, hey, we want you to fulfill the law of the land. We petitioned them for you on the 4th, and that petition is the very first petition on our petition page. We demand that they, and still to this day, folks, I've got to stop right now because I'm running out of time. I got to tell you that the petition to remove Biden is still active. It's still live and it's there. Get it. If you want to get rid of Biden, that petition will get rid of him, because the Congress has the power to get rid of him, because Congress violated the Constitution. There's no reason why Congress can't take a stand and say, look, you know, we as Congress violated the Constitution, and therefore we need to remove, or we actually need to execute the 12th Amendment, because the president was chosen unconstitutionally. Read the petition. We go through the details right there for you. But if you want to actually start understanding, folks, we have to start looking at how corrupt we've become. And the corruption started a long, long time ago. And actually, the corruption has been supported by all sorts of different players. And the big player that is corrupting America today is the Chinese Communist Party. And so when we do the Feedback Friday this coming week, I'm going to go into details of how, you know, China and what we need to do to combat that, and what we have to do, because it's kind of going to be a follow-up. So you need to, because we're going through content on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, without any deviation, we will be reading the Pennsylvania ratification debate starting tomorrow. So in our next episode, it will be the Pennsylvania, because we have to cover these things. You have to hear how the Constitution was defined. And as you hear this, you'll get more and more infuriated to go, how are they doing this? Everything that is being done is fraudulent. That debt, keep in mind, that debt is fraud. They have no authority, even though the Constitution says that Congress shall have the power to, you know, create debt. They shall, you know, have the good faith and credit of the United States. Well, they can only create debt, as the Constitution says, that those things under their authority. Can they create debt to spend money on things they have no authority to spend on? No. And all of that money, every single dollar that's being spent, tell me how much of it, prove to me that any of it has been constitutional. Look at the budget and look at the outlays. When you look at the overall budget, less than $1 billion, or less than a trillion, I need to say, because they're spending on the trillions, less than a trillion, and they make $2 trillion plus. Less than $1 trillion is going on the constitutional stuff. They're not spending $1 trillion on warfare, defense, and everything else. And the money that they're giving to Ukraine, that's all unconstitutional. That's not constitutional warfare. And so we're going to talk about what we can do and what we need to do, because what we want to do is use Fridays, Feedback Fridays, so I can give you solution stuff. What we want to do on these Game Changers episodes, again, is kind of connect the dots and help you understand what you need to do for yourself. So rebellions, there's one warfare tactic right there, guerrilla warfare, rebellion type of tactic. Guerrilla is a little bit different, but rebellions is a very specific tactic of warfare that an enemy can use to disrupt and actually overturn a country and its government. Another warfare tactic is airborne warfare tactics. Now, for those who doubt and call geoengineering, these things that are coming out of the planes over your head, if you don't think those are chemtrails and you believe that this is a conspiracy, then you need to look at this PDF file, and I have a link that'll take you to this basically joint operation. It was not technically, it was an endeavor that was between NASA and the University of Washington, and they did this in the 90s, and it was called TARFOX. You need to go look at what they were doing and why they were doing this, and then go and demand your legislatures, every single legislative group out there, all of them, go and demand, you know, that they provide you with what aircrafts, you know, are up there doing that. You know, is that a commercial airline? As a matter of fact, they have the ability. They can call, you know, the major principal airport and say, we demand to know, you know, what the all these flights are. What flight is that overhead? Because their radar will tell them what the flights are. When they look at everything overhead, they have the ability to look at all of those planes in the air. They can tell you, well, oh, this one's going here. That's the American Airlines. That's the United Airlines. And there's no contrails coming off of those. And you'll start to discover when you start demanding questions on what these things are, what they're doing, then you will find out that you have been subjected to airborne warfare tactics as they're spraying. And, oh, yeah, you're not dying today. But what they're spraying, and I will tell you that ever since they started spraying, you cannot find any snowpack anywhere in the world that doesn't have small traces of metal particulates. Because what they're spraying is what they're putting in the air. It's getting into the clouds, and it's affecting our water supply. It's affecting us because they're hitting us with these chemicals, these minerals, and these compounds. And folks, that what they're doing isn't to actually kill us immediately. It is for a very specific outcome. And until we know exactly what and why they're doing these things, and some of these things are actually weather events that they're actually including in that to try, kind of, I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, after they spray, all of a sudden you have a really bad foggy day or two where fog is just really thick. They have been playing since the 90s. This is almost a perfected science of changing and or affecting your weather. And I'm telling you, do the research on those types of things directly. Airborne warfare, I'm only scratching the surface. I didn't even talk in here about dew. Direct energy weapons that actually come from, because they reflect it off the atmosphere and basically send a bunch of energy down. Look up dew weapons, direct energy weapons, and you'll actually start seeing the research of how we can project massive electricity and actually just hit a part of the earth with it very accurately. Interesting. They're getting really smart in how to kill and how to do what they need to do to get the outcomes that they want. And I am telling you, there are evil people today. If you believe in I don't even want to call it a conspiracy. If you believe that the globalists are not our friends and they're really trying to do very bad things, then you have to understand that all of the stuff that they're allowing happen in government today is not because they care about you and they want to save, you know, society. They want to control society. That is why. Now, I also have a link to the CBS Geoengineering Treatment Stratospheric Aerosol Injection Climate Change Study. This was back in 2018 that CBS actually, you know, tried to help proffer and say, we need to be doing this because this is all about climate change. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to cool down the planet by reflecting, because that's why they're putting metal in the air, is to help reflect some of that. But they're doing other things as well. There's this thing called attrition warfare. By making things illegal to mine, produce, or what have you within the state, this is called attrition warfare. This is where they can actually make it so that you can't make it anymore because of the environment. You know, but they allow you to buy it. You know, like batteries, lithium, or what have you. Oh, well, that's too harmful for the environment. So you know, you can't do what you need to do to manufacture lithium batteries. Oh, but we'll buy lithium batteries from somebody else. Huh? Do you realize what they just did? That's called attrition warfare. By saying we can't do it because it's just wrong, but they allow you to buy the product that's doing something that's just wrong. And what that really is has nothing to do with whether the product is wrong. They create the stigma. They create and they start getting people. This is why this is so crazy here in America, what we're doing to ourselves. And these kids are foaming at the mouth because they've been indoctrinated, inculcated by the education system that this is what has to be done. We got to stop all of this. The next warfare tactic that everybody's aware of is biological warfare tactic. So you'll notice these are kind of alphabetical. Biological warfare. Oh, yeah. Viruses. I believe that if we actually did the due diligence, I believe we would find that most of the viruses that we have been hit with, go back to the history of Big Pharma, when pharmaceutical companies actually started, you know, coming online as conglomerates and started buying up, because I believe that's when you'll start finding when Big Pharma made the transition of, you know, now everybody believes that we're good. Now we can get away with being bad. And so pharmaceutical companies have been investing in research and development labs and have been doing. And as a matter of fact, I talked about this back in 2020 with Trump in office. I talked about this and I went through the history of the NIH. The NIH, and how they basically started shutting down these pharmaceutical labs and this research in America because they were actually, these were deadly viruses that they were creating and playing with. And they said, by the risk of that getting out, you can't do this here anymore. But the NIH still actually maintained government payment for that to be done as it was being done in other nations, and China was one of those big nations. And we're talking back in the early 2000s when we started proliferating these lab warfare research, you know, labs, because it was just cheaper to do it overseas. Plus, it reduced the risk. So they started getting and getting all of these things out of America. And you got to realize that with a global economy, with people traveling around, all you got to do is just make sure you get a good distribution method by, you know, giving it to people. And so if you look at what happened with the Wuhan virus, they knew that the Wuhan virus was already out in China when they had the Chinese New Year in Wuhan province that year. That's where they went, and they went back to their countries around the world. They had their distribution system. This is how they effectively hit all of us, folks. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We're just scratching this. We've got a lot more to go through. So next Monday, we'll be doing another Game Changer episode. I'm G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.